Welcome to the Judge John Hodgman podcast. I'm Bailiff Jesse Thorne. This week, amicus grief. Will brings the case against his friend Moby. Moby has constructed a, quote, friendship and acquaintance theory, unquote, that helps her navigate the relationships in her life. She's entirely upfront about which people in her life are acquaintances and which are friends. She says it helps her maintain better relationships. Will thinks Moby's gone overboard with the theory, and it's alienating her from other people. Who's right? Who's wrong? Only one man can decide. Please rise as Judge John Hodgman enters the courtroom and presents the obscure cultural reference.
Jesse, begin dialogue.
I read somewhere that you weren't actually going to sing the hook on that song.
Yeah, I was trying to get my man TJ Swan, but he said he was doing his album. And then I tried to get Albie Shore, and then I tried to get Keith Sweat. I tried to get them to sing it, but they were busy doing their stuff. So I said, I'll do it.
Do you think it would have been as popular if Keith Sweat would have done it?
Hang on. Can I get that with an extra fish sandwich? No. With a double cheeseburger.
I kind of feel like it was you singing it that really put it over the top and made it that big.
Hold on one sec. And a big fry. What? What were you saying?
Do you think it would have been as big of a hit if Keith Sweat sung it? Well, as opposed to how you sung it.
I think it would have still been a hit. Jesse Thorne, swear them in.
Please rise and raise your right hands. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God or whatever?
I do.
Do you swear to abide by Judge John Hodgman's ruling, despite the fact that he has no friends, only lovers?
I do.
Yes, I do.
Very well, Judge Hodgman.
I do love my friends. Sometimes, twice a month. Moby and Will, you may be seated for an immediate summary judgment in one of yours favors. Can you name the piece of culture that I was rather obliquely referencing in that little dialogue there that I gave you before as I entered the courtroom? Will?
I cannot.
You cannot.
I cannot. I have no idea.
And Moby, your name is short for?
Mobina.
Mobina, but we call you Moby. And can you guess?
No, some sort of song. No, I don't know.
Well, you're close. I'm not going to give it to you, but I think you can probably figure it out from there. It's a song about friendship.
It's Friends by Houdini.
Oh, Jesse, that would have been a good one. Friends, how many of us have them?
Friends. Ones we can depend on. Let's be friends.
Friends.
You guys just broke out in song. Is that okay?
Yeah. Yeah, that's because we're friends. That's what friends do together.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
We're using the word friend a lot too much. Okay.
We're using it too much for your taste. I know this is exactly what this case is about. But friends sometimes burst into song when Houdini is involved. So it's not Friends by Houdini. It is a song that has a hook that is sung and is about friendship. And it was not sung by Keith Sweat or Albie Shore or TJ Swan, but by the original recording artist who does not have a very good singing voice. That's about as big as a hint as I can give you.
No, I don't know anything about this.
How about this? My favorite line from the song, which I wasn't going to quote because I figured you would both get it. So I took Blah Blah's word for it at this time. I thought just having a friend couldn't be a crime because I have friends, and that's a fact. Like Agnes, Agatha, Jermaine, and Jack. Will, you have it now?
Yes.
What is it?
It's Bismarcky, right?
It is Bismarcky.
Just a friend
by Bismarcky.
Yes.
I am glad that I did not quote from the song, because then you would have obviously gotten it and we would have been nowhere. So, here we are. No winners. Only friends just sitting around talking. Will, you actually both submitted this case and you both wanted to complain, but I found Will to be the most complainy of the complainants.
Oh my God, Will, what did you write? Show me what he wrote.
What is your beef with your, and this is the point of contention, your maybe friend or maybe acquaintance, Moby?
So Moby has this thing called a friendship theory, which is a ranking system for people that she knows on layers of acquaintance and then friendship. When she meets people, she introduces her meeting with them by showing them the friendship as one friend characterized it. Hi, I'm Moby. You're not my friend. She will carry it around like a business card and give it to people.
The friendship theory is printed on a business card?
Well,
no,
yeah,
it's
pretty
printed
much,
on pieces of paper double-sided in color.
Okay, a flyer.
It's a document.
So it's, what it's you're saying, cultish, to clarify, Will, Moby has a ranked system of friendship that involves various layers of acquaintanceship leading up to friendship. She carries around this declination of friendship as a handout flyer, a document, a physical document or a PDF that she sends around to via electronic mail. Both. Okay. Mm. And she literally at parties will say, "You're not my friend" to people. How does that work exactly?
Yes.
Let's do a role play. You're Moby and I'm you at a party. I'm not doing a role play with you. I only do role plays with my pals. Well, you're Moby.
Cool.
And I'm me, and you meet me at one of those wild Sydney parties that I go to all the time. You as Moby, how would you introduce yourself to me? Or if I were to introduce myself, how does it work? Lead the way.
Hi, I'm Moby.
How do you do? I'm John Hodge. Theory. Oh, okay. I barely got my name out. Very good.
Oh my gosh, that is so not me.
Well, you'll have your chance, Moby. Don't interrupt our scene.
Shut your pie hole.
Oh. So you have a friendship theory. No, let's keep the role play going. You have a friendship theory. What do you mean?
I'm convinced that modern society overuses the word friend. I prefer the term acquaintance, and I will rank you. I will rank
oh
you
my god, I did not say that. I don't know. I'm gonna rank you.
At the moment you are pre-acquaintance.
Well, Moby, let me say, I agree with you that society does overuse the word friend.
You didn't even
give
me a chance to explain it. You can't have him explain it.
Moby, I want you to listen just for a moment. Okay. You may have heard me saying, well, Moby, I actually agree with you that friendship is overused. Let me now turn to the real Moby so she can explain it further. You're in good hands with me, Moby. You don't have to yell through everybody.
Okay? All right. I'm going to make sure everyone... Fairly. Yeah.
No, I'm going to make sure everyone gets treated fairly, my friends and enemies alike. That's what justice means.
Okay.
Now, before we go through the whole theory, which I confess I find fascinating, let me understand a little bit more about you guys. You live in Sydney, Australia, both of you. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay. I'm going to talk to Moby for a little bit, Will, so hush up.
No problem.
That's American for shut your pie hole. So, Moby, may I ask, what is your age and occupation there in Sydney, Australia?
I'm 25, and I work in the field of digital communication.
Okay. And I'm going to ask you, Moby, what is Will's age, if you even bother to know, and his occupation? And how do you know each other?
Will's 28. Uh-huh. Just had a birthday, I think, yeah. And, Facebook doesn't tell me how old he is. He just tells me it was his birthday. and his occupation is, he's studying right now, history and stuff. Yeah.
Okay. And in a graduate program, is that right, Will? Are you 28?
I am 28, yes, and I'm doing my PhD in history.
Just to be clear, the University of Sydney has a legendary department of history and stuff.
I'd like to just do a course in stuff, Jesse. You know what I mean? If I get a doctorate, you know, because I think in a lot of ways it encompasses history. Will, how do you know and Moby know each other? Since you can't agree on whether or not you're friends, how do you know each other?
I met Moby through my wife.
Okay. And would you, Will, do you consider Moby a friend?
Certainly.
Okay. Moby, where on your friendship ranking scale does Will appear? Do you consider him a friend?
Okay, I'm going to answer it and then I'll explain it after. Okay.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Perfect.
Will is AL1.8, okay?
Yes. I'm making a note.
He's having.
Which is acquaintance level 1.8. Okay.
Acquaintance level 1.8. All right.
That's right. Okay.
Good.
And the reason he is this is, all right, when you ask the question whether Will thinks Moby is a friend, both of us have different criteria. Right?
Sure.
So Will's definition of a friend is pretty much anyone he likes, right?
Mm-hmm.
My definition of a friend is what society would call a best friend. You know, where mm-hmm. there's like mutual feelings of like love and you know yeah. about each other really well and you've had multiple deep discussions and they can come to you when, you know, things have gone really bad. Like you're the person they turn to. So this is why I would not call Will a friend, because that's never happened before. And I'm not saying it'll never happen in the future. Maybe we do become closer. But at the moment, we're not friend. He is acquaintance level 1.8.
Okay, so let's talk about your friendship acquaintance six-stage theory.
That's right.
We start at what's the lowest level?
So the lower level is pre-acquaintance, which is about 10% of people I know and I know of. And then basically the criteria is we don't know each other, or we only know each other's names only.
So that's stranger. That includes strangers.
That includes strangers and people who just know my name based off being like listening, hearing about it from other people. So that's pre-acquaintance.
That's where we would be.
Yeah.
Right?
Right now, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, next.
Then there's acquaintance level 1, acquaintance level 2, acquaintance level 3, pre-friend, and friend.
Okay. The ones that I won't ask you to go through all of the acquaintance levels, because obviously, with your permission, we'll put this up on our website and
people
can take a look for themselves and they can take the quiz. Yeah, I agree, Will. Shut up. Jesse, give it to Will.
Will, shut your pie hole.
Thank you.
There's a pie graph. There's a very colorful pie graph. That's what sells the theory.
Can I suggest a seventh stage?
It usually does, believe me. Say again, Jesse.
Can I suggest a seventh stage?
Sure.
It's where you become a beautiful butterfly.
It's not about being a caterpillar. It's not. I don't know how to answer that.
The seventh stage is when you mentally join each other and your consciousnesses entwine and you go traveling through the universe together to planets that have been gifted to you.
Well, I've never experienced that, so I would never find it.
No one has, because no one has fulfilled the full rankings of utter friendship in my cult that I'm starting based on your friendship table.
That does not sound good.
There's something so delightfully scientific about this highly subjective issue that it reminds me a little bit of, let's say, a certain popular new religious movements that may or may not be based in California, and Tom Cruise might have something to do with them.
What are you associating my theory with?
Nothing, but it's just L. Ron Hubbard made a lot of lists. and the fact that you would describe Will as not merely acquaintance level 2, which is already beautifully scientifically specific, but that it gets to 1.8.
Yeah,
not merely acquaintance level 1. Yeah,
that's you don't quite yet preliminarily care about him.
That or she can't speak to me for 20 minutes without being bored.
No. You can't say that, because we've never spoken for 20 minutes one-on-one ever about anything.
Yeah, but now it's starting. He may be jumping up the ladder whether you like it or not, just by that. All right, so let's talk about the two ones. I mean, there are a lot of criteria here. Acquaintance level 1, we know of each other through mutual friends. You're a work colleague or a business client. We run into each other now and then by coincidence. Details about each other are superficial. And then 2, you jump up to, we usually meet in groups, rarely one-on-one. I can handle a 20-minute small talk chat with you any longer and I will get bored. That is your definition of acquaintance level 2. And he's not even there yet. I would normally round someone up from 1.8 to 2, but what makes Will a 1.8?
Well, maybe I've just forgotten. I don't think we've ever had a one-on-one
conversation. You came into the bookstore I was working at to pick up a Jeffrey Archer novel. And I recommended a bunch of books to you, many, many books, which you refused. And we had a long conversation about how you only read Jeffrey Archer.
But I just got bored listening to that. I'm sure she got bored before 20 minutes elapsed.
But see, That wasn't the plan.
We worked with us on the video for our wedding. I've known you for 5 years.
Yeah, but we haven't talked one-on-one. I might have come in the bookstore, but I don't think it was 20 minutes. I was looking around for books.
Will, I'm with Moby on this one. You know, it's like, she might want it.
I want to be more than 1.8, but we haven't reached
exactly,
there
but
yet.
You gotta trust the data. There isn't a 20-minute conversation without boredom yet. Just... You know, you got to earn it. You can't just grab it.
I'd like to ask a clarifying question. Moby, would you say that in order to move from one level of qualification to the next, you have to have demonstrated all of the qualities, or is it enough simply to have the potential for all of the qualities? So if it's someone that you would gladly speak to for more than 20 minutes, do you have to have spoken to them for more than 20 minutes?
That's correct. Because I feel like people lie and people say that they want to be closer to you and they don't. And that's sort of why there's criteria that it's not that hard to like to complete. It's not like I'm saying jump through this hoop. I'm saying let's describe our friendship and which one does it go under.
I get it. People, they smile in your face, but all the time they want to take your place. It's backstabbers.
And so the other one, oh, go ahead, Moby.
Well, I think people are opportunistic, like innately opportunistic. Like they want to try and sort of see how they can, use people for certain things, whether it's using them for happiness because they make them feel good or making them feel important or giving them connections to other things and meeting other people. Like I feel like it's like that. And I'm trying to navigate around it. This theory came from my personal experiences. And that's why I'm so passionate about it. And I think that, and it really does help me. Like, I'm proof that it works. Like I have people that I fit in the categories.
This is a cult pitch. You're pitching a cult right now.
No, I like
this. I want to hear about the proof that it works. What's the proof that it works?
It means that I don't get hurt.
I see.
As much. Do you see? Like mm-hmm. when, like so many friends. So what I've done is I talk to a lot of people as well about the theory and it initiates and starts up a whole discussion about their personal friends and where they place people and what issues they're facing. And then I hear them out and then I sort of say, well, there you go. This could have been solved if you talked to them and found out where you stand with one another. You know, people don't tell each other where they stand with one another. And it's always the case where one person wants to be closer and the other person doesn't. And one person ends up getting hurt because when something bad happens, the person who's not as invested goes away, it runs away, and the other person is left hurt and confused and don't understand what's going on. I thought that person was my friend. Why didn't they stick around and want to work on the friendship? Well, this all comes from personal experiences, and it's basically a defense mechanism on how I can navigate sort of, you know, society and friends and meeting people and sort of be able to have this framework, you know, to work around.
So you're talking about, and I think you're onto something very interesting here, a perceived intimacy imbalance, where one person in a non-romantic relationship, a friendship or an acquaintanceship, will perceive that they are or should be closer friends than the other person perceives it to be, and therefore that causes hurt. Is that more or less what you're after here? And
that if people just communication,
right? If people just said, "Well, I'm glad that you're an AL 3.8 for me, but unfortunately I'm just an AL 1.2 for you."
Oh, that's another thing. If it's not mutual, then you can't describe the theory. Like that's, if you look at right at the end of my theory, it says at the end of friend, note, if it's not mutual, then we're not friends. Everything has to be mutual. You have to agree. And that's the best thing about this theory is that there's no way one person can be 3.8 and one person can be 1.2. It's sort of like, did we go to school or uni together? Yes or no. They're like yes or no sort of things. You know?
So it's just hard data, but it's seeded with subjectivity. You know, if Will makes it to a 20-minute small talk chat with you, that's data, right? That should bump him up to AL2. But you have built into this, I can handle a 20-minute small talk chat with you and I will be bored after that. That's subjective. That's making a decision. You know what I mean? So I'm not sure that you can completely scientificize it. That's a word. That's a word. Yeah. You guys, come on.
No, it's not.
But you know, or what's the word? Quantify friendship. But I think that there's something really interesting in the idea of reserving friendship here in your ranking as I care immensely in every domain of their life. I can easily give my honest opinion. This person notices when I'm upset through subtle indications, and we feel the same way about each other, and that defines friendship, and everything else is at some level of acquaintanceship. I think there's something very truthful and honest about that, and I admire that you can be honest with people about maybe, you know, you're not as close as they think you are.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so give me an example though of a situation where you or someone you know, a concrete example, was hurt by a difference in their perceived affection for one another.
Okay, I've got a perfect one. Okay, great. So there was this guy who I met, and
right.
as soon as I met him, I wanted to become, not as soon as that, but as we were becoming, like, getting to know each other better, I was like, I want this person to be a friend. I want to have that, you know, that sort of closeness to him, right?
To be a close friend cool. by your definition.
Yeah,
so by your ranking, he would be a pre-friend, someone I wish were a friend as defined
that's right,
below
yes.
and not as society currently defines it.
That's right.
So you identified subject X as a pre-friend.
That's right, subject mm-hmm. X. And the only way for us to be friends if he felt exactly the same way, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this is a pre-friend is the only level where it's not mutual and you're sort of figuring it out. Now, my theory wasn't developed at that point, unfortunately, but it was in right. my head, but I hadn't, like, written it down and I passed sure. it around. This was a few years ago.
You hadn't received the transmission from the extraterrestrial entity that is guiding you currently.
That's exactly correct. Absolutely.
That's right. Okay. That's what I thought. By the way, I think it's amazing that your friend's name was Subject X and I guessed it. Or your pre-friend. Okay. So pre-friend, you wanted to be friends with pre-friend. Subject X.
Yeah, and he didn't. But yeah. he didn't tell me.
Right.
Like, okay, so he for example, wouldn't call me back if I called him, or wouldn't text me till like a week later, or ignore it altogether. And although when we hang out, everything's cool.
Sure.
But he wasn't interested in like what's happening with my life or anything like that. You know, he just wasn't interested. And so I met up with him and I said to him, hey, do you want to be friends, like real proper friends, like friends who do this, who meet up regularly, who answer calls and stuff like that? And
he sure, was like, you showed him all your charts and graphs?
Well, no, nothing was written.
No, you didn't have the charts and graphs yet.
No,
I
it was all in my head. Right. Like, and then you know, said, yeah. it just started dawning, like, how can I protect myself from being hurt like I have in the past with other friendships, other friends? I'm very sentimental.
And you realized the answer was charts and graphs.
No, but he said, so... This is before you had the charts and graphs, but you
had it in my head.
You had it in your head and you thought enough to say, do you want to be the kind of friend that I want to be? And he said.
Yep. And he said, yeah, man, absolutely. Totally. Okay. And I was like, oh, great.
But he was lying.
He was lying. Straight up
probably
lying.
Probably because he's either a monster or he was trying not to hurt your feelings, which is just a different kind of monster.
I think trying not to hurt my feelings. I think it was that because I'm still in contact with him. We're just not as close. I think he wanted to be more like AL2, AL3, maybe. You know what I mean?
But he just didn't have the vocabulary to express that because you hadn't written out your charts and your graphs.
He could
yet.
Have said, I don't want to be that close. But yeah, it's very hard for people to say because our society drills it into us that as soon as you meet someone or as soon as you work on a project, boom, you're friends. And you can
or
use
as soon,
that as,
or as soon as you
or whatever.
Or as soon as you accept them into your social network of choice, for example. Now, all of a sudden, they yeah. can call you up and ask you for favors and so forth.
Yeah.
But Will,
yeah.
what is the problem with this? I think what Moby is doing here is very interesting because we have these conversations, these clarifying conversations all the time between people who, one person who may want to be in a romantic relationship with another and the other one doesn't. And you need to clear that air if that's not going to happen. No, I just want you to be a friend. I don't want you as a lover. Do you know what I mean? But the reality is that friendship, platonic friendship, can be a very meaningful relationship. And if the same emotional energy is not returned, it can be very painful. So why not clear the air, Will?
I think that clearing the air is one thing. I think that quantifying it in this manner is what I have an issue with. I think that
what is
everybody
your issue
thinks
with?
About everybody thinks about these kind of issues, right? I don't even have a problem that Moby has a theory. I more have a problem with her telling people their ranking.
Why should you care?
Well, because I'm not the only person who has kind of been confronted by it.
You've been one.
It can be.
You're not the only person who's been 1.8ed.
Well, I mean, like, I a lot of people are quite kind of. Some people respond to it by kind of wanting to go up in ranks, like they want to level up.
Sure.
You know, put in the experience points with Moby, and then kind of go up a rank. Others,
yeah.
Others will, you know.
That's called friendship grinding.
Yeah.
God, what?
Or they'll pay someone in another country to put in the work. And,
sure, yeah.
but a lot of other people are just kind of really confronted by, you know, suddenly having what is the kind of mystique that surrounds social interactions suddenly quantified and shoved in their face. And I think that we as people, we enjoy having that mystique. We don't like having things so kind of fake scientific, because it's not a theory, it's a model.
But isn't it a self-correcting mechanism, Will? I mean, you say we as people like having that mystique. Obviously, Moby doesn't. There may be other people in the world who share her disdain for subtlety and nuance, and she will obviously find those people with her chart. The people who respond to her chart are probably more likely to be her friends than the people who don't respond to her chart.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. I understand why she has it, but I feel like it's pushing all these people away from her as much as.
Well, you're speaking as a friend, even though you are obviously as AL 1.8 as I've ever seen anyone. You are under this delusion that you're her friend, and you're essentially mounting a friendly intervention. Which is allowable, I think, in friendship, if you think that her behavior is doing her harm. Can you give me a concrete example of how her behavior is doing her harm?
Well, I mean, part of the intervention is because it's doing her harm, but part of the intervention is because
it's doing
other people's harm.
Wait, when did this become an intervention?
Well, why else would one human being complain about another human being's personal choices in life unless he felt it was so destructive that he had to intervene? Otherwise, he's just being a busybody and a nosy person. So if you're not a busybody and a nosy person, and you think that this is causing her some kind of pain, or she's losing opportunities or something, give me an example of how it is hurting her life, or we can shut down the international cable to Australia right away.
I think it is that it's doing her harm, but it's also that it's doing other people harm. And I trust that Moby doesn't want to do that. I don't think that she's the kind of person that is malicious towards other people. And so I think that that the very fact of the knowledge that she's upsetting other people with this will in fact upset her in turn. And
well,
so
I want to get everyone upset right now. Who's getting hurt? You're obviously in pain. Who else?
I spoke to quite a few of her friends, and most of them want to be free with this theory.
Mm-hmm.
At least the ones that I spoke to. And I don't know if the evidence was submitted, but one of my friends typed up a statement of wishing to be free of it.
Evidence. This is testimony from one of Moby's AL3s.
Yeah, and it's from an AL3.
Has Moby heard this evidence before?
No, this is, I don't believe so.
All right. Bailiff Jesse, do you have this evidence in front of you?
I do have this evidence, yes.
Will you please read it aloud to the courtroom? And if you feel the need to skip portions just for time, you may. But why don't you read this aloud? Once again, this is testimony from one of Moby's AL3s. We'll call this subject Y.
Here's Moby's AL3's testimony. I used to subscribe to Moby's friendship theory and was a great believer, but after moving to Mobstown in Guyana and seeing her sinister work at play, I now believe the theory is inherently flawed and a crime against humanity.
Let me just pause there for hyperbole and clarification.
Oh my God.
Is Mobstown a place, or is that the name of your apartment in Guyana?
Presumably that's a metaphorical allusion to Jamestown.
What is it, Will? Is that a place?
I think it's more a metaphor for being within Moby's empire or cult.
But Moby, don't live
empire,
in Guyana,
cult,
do you?
What are these
She
words?
Definitely doesn't live in Guyana.
Well, I agree. Well, don't be inflammatory, but there's okay, no...
Sorry.
This is some... So subject Y, Moby's AL3, is not trustworthy because he or she doesn't know how to use metaphor properly. All right, I understand. Go on. Continue to read.
She once told me a certain mutual friend of ours befit the coveted title of friend and was not merely an acquaintance like the rest of us plebes. I was aghast. I was still ranked acquaintance level 3, but I had known Moby longer than this so-called friend.
Oh,
what
God.
Made her more worthy of that title than I? I shared a bed with Moby. That's the equivalent of living...
Oh my God, I know
living...
who this is.
To cut a long story short... This friend.
I'd like to hear that sentence. That's the equivalent of living.
That's the equivalent of living in a post-apocalyptic zombie-infested nightmare.
All right. The seriousness of this letter has just been undermined. Go on.
Yeah. To cut a long story short, this friend is no longer in that category. In fact, I hardly think she fulfills the rate of an acquaintance level 3, since they are not on the best of terms. How could someone easily rise to the top of this friendship ivory tower so quickly, then crash like the waves of a tide while the rest of us languish at acquaintance level 3? I think that she doesn't want the world to know this theory is more or less based on Moby's emotions and how much daytime TV and fancy brunches Moby has consumed for the week. I would also like to take this opportunity to revoke my acquaintance level 3 status and formally declare myself a sovereign friend, independent of her friendship theory imperialism.
Yes, wow, this flag bears fringe and therefore does not represent, this is not a court of the United States. Sovereign citizen friend, subject Y, Moby's AL3. Moby,
yes.
How are you feeling about this testimony?
Okay, so that's I know exactly who that is.
I'm not surprised.
There's only one person in this world who keeps exclaiming how we shared a bed together in public. Anyway, so this friend. Or I use the word friend because people do get confronted by the word acquaintance level unless they know. Should I just use my own definitions or?
Yeah, use AL3 or subject Y.
Okay, so AL3, we have never met up and had coffee together. And I invited her out for coffee, you know, a couple times and she made a joke of it and we never met up. So we've never actually made the effort of meeting up or anything. If she wanted to be a friend, she could, but she's a very, very popular person. She has a million, billion friends. And I don't want to be like sort of categorized into what she defines as a friend because I do think in some way it is superficial. If you don't meet up with someone for coffee, if you don't, you know, spend a lot of time together or if they can't notice, you when you're upset or they don't know what your natural sort of, responses are, they're not able to compare it to a time when you are upset. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I know this person for a long time and things like that. So, but this is why I'm not friends with her because we haven't met up for coffee or anything like that. Okay.
Even though, and I don't want to go too much into your private life, but even though you've known her for a long time, at some point or another, you shared a bed, she considers you a friend because she didn't accept your coffee invitation. Boom. AL3 for life.
Well, not just that,
not
but
for
like,
life.
Yes, okay, fine, for life. But like when someone gets to know you, really gets to know you, they know your natural sort of behavior. And so they can compare it to when you are upset or angry and find out how you are. And I don't think she has that. And I don't think I have that from her exactly either.
So what about this mysterious subject Zed will say now? That's Australian for Z, Jesse.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So subject Y. This is the person who got bumped up to friend status, much to subject Y's anger, because she felt it was unearned. She hadn't put in the time.
Great question.
And has since gone on to say that subject Z has fallen out of the friend category.
What
was the reason that subject Z made it to friend and subject Y hasn't? And B, can you fall backwards in status?
Mm-hmm. So with subject Z, we were spending a lot of time together. We were meeting up every week or talking to each other every week. I was staying at a house a lot. She went through an extremely rough time and I was there for her and that brought us closer together. And we meet up and when she's upset, we talk it over. So we're much closer than I am with AL3, like obviously, you know, and I'm only calling her AL3 because I'm not going to reveal her identity. But I don't call people AL3 like that.
AL3s don't do that to one another.
Yeah, I use their names. But so obviously I'm closer to subject Z than I am with subject Y because we met up more. We had more DNMs. She went through a rough time and I was there for her. And that's what makes people closer, you know? She has never, AL3 has never actually come to me and said, oh, I heard you and your friend were not doing so well. What happened there? She just immediately assumed that we're suddenly not friends and things like that. So I don't know why she didn't.
She's
come
that
up
kind
to
of false AL3 who goes around behind your back spreading all kinds of drama.
That's it.
Smiling faces sometimes pretend to be your friend.
Yeah, maybe. So yeah, and so what happened with subject Z is that subject Z suddenly stopped talking to me, or she would go overseas and she wouldn't even let me know. And so I messaged her and I said, and I tried to call her, but she wouldn't answer my call. And I messaged her and I said, is everything okay between us? I feel like, you know, something's wrong. Let me know. You know, I really care about this friendship, blah, blah, blah. And she was like, no, everything's fine. But that kept happening. And then that's when I sort of realized, oh, okay, she's not able to confront me or say what's upsetting her. And in true fashion, in what a lot of girls do is they cut and run. They'll just start ignoring the other girl immediately, right, without even working on the friendship or anything. So that's what happened.
Now that you know this about her, does that mean she is no longer a friend by your categorization, or that she never was a friend? You were tricked into believing she was a friend, but really was more like AL2.
Well, I kind of feel used because it started becoming more about her than about being mutual. And I just thought maybe she needed time and sort of, you know, I noticed that imbalance. And when I see such an imbalance, I'm like, okay, that's a danger zone. And then I found out that it was starting to become that way. And I don't leave a friendship. I try and work on it. Any sort of level you're on, I work on it. Like, I never leave something off, you know, hanging. So,
But Moby, you say that your system, your friendship theory, is designed to prevent precisely this kind of emotional pain in you
People
and
lie.
Other parties.
It's like I can't. I always think that being, you know, really, you know, communicating a lot and stuff like that would help. And an example I can give you is with a couple that's dating. Okay. They're dating, they're very intimate, they're very close, and you still get some people who are so shocked by being dumped, or a married couple who suddenly one person finds out that the other person wants a divorce, and it's because the other person's not communicating with me. And so what I find a solution for that, so every time an issue comes up with the theory, I try and find a solution, and the solution I found for that is regularly checking in on them, like sort of saying, how are you feeling about the friendship, you know? Ooh. And I think, and there's nothing wrong with that. I think that we do that with romantic.
I disagree.
I feel like we do that with romantic relationships. We say, hey, I noticed that you're not, you know, hugging me as much, or you're not saying I love you as much. What's wrong? And you do that in a relationship. But what about friendship? Friendship is just as important as romantic relationships.
I think checking in with a friend every now and then, if you feel something's wrong, it's absolutely important to say, is there something wrong? Did I do something to piss you off? Can I explain? You know what I mean? And that's equally important for a romantic relationship as well. But I mean, regular, like, I wouldn't suggest that you do this every 3 weeks, even if you're married to the person. That would be extremely intrusive and paranoiac, I would say.
Okay, not every. Did I say 3 weeks? You made that up. You're putting
I did make it up, but you said regularly. So, what is that? Since it's your theory, what is the regular check-in period required by the theory to maintain friendship?
Maybe like, I don't know, once every few months, like all 3-4
That's
months.
Fair.
You know, and just sort of saying, you know, you can come
just
to me
as a performance review.
Yeah, but it's like not. It's not like it's scientific. I get it, but this is what people do naturally anyway. I'm
it's
just putting it down on paper.
Stop saying that.
Well, hang on.
Well,
Moby, I'm sorry that was a painful friendship or issue for you, but now I just want to go over to Will. Will, I'm getting tired of hearing you chuckle in the background. You are so happy that you exploded this huge drama bomb into the middle of my podcast, stirring the pot between AL3 and Moby.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
I should have known about the evidence.
It was a surprise evidence, a surprise witness.
This was just one of multiple people.
That whole message is a bit rubbish.
But Will, I'm going to tell you right now, AL3 is not hurt. That is not testimony from a hurt person.
That's a joke.
That is someone who makes a zombie joke in the middle of her letter. She talks about Mobstown. And as Moby points out, this is a person with a lot of what she calls friends, but what I'm sure, Moby, you would say her large circle of acquaintances are like AL2s and 1s, right? AL2s and 1s and 3s.
Hundreds of people. She's very
She
popular.
Doesn't value she doesn't value friendship in the same way that Moby does. She's just stirring the pot, just
but
like
as,
you, Will.
As a, I mean, if I had known someone who was actually quite hurt by it,
yeah, if
I
you did,
I
sure, that would be compelling
bring
evidence.
It onto the podcast, it would be.
Oh, I see. So, do you know such a person?
I think
yes
I,
or
I,
no. I, do you know such a person?
Yes.
Okay. I think you just want to win this argument.
You can't talk about it.
Yeah, yeah. There's so much pseudoscience going on here. I can prove that it's true, but I can't reveal the information. Scientifically, this person was my friend until I determined they weren't my friend.
But if you think about it, like it's not out of the realm of possibility, even if it wasn't the case.
Of course, it's not outside the realm of possibility, yeah. But this is a fake internet court of reality.
Hell's yeah, man.
Yeah.
Can you give me a concrete example of how Moby has been hurt? Well, in a sense, what you did was you tried to show how other people have been hurt by Moby's theory of friendship. But in fact, what you showed inadvertently, unless you're a genius of fake internet law, how Moby was hurt. By her own system, because she believed Subject Zed was a friend, and it turned out that Subject Zed was not quite the friend she thought it was going to be. Is that not so, sir?
Yeah, and I mean,
this is the best summation of your case that you're going to get.
that happens all the time. I mean, friendships aren't like easy, and I don't think having this kind of level of the facade of science around it makes that any less the case.
Moby, final arguments from you. Why should I allow you to continue to hand out weird flyers at parties instead of making conversation? Go.
John, I have a degree in psychology and a master's in digital communication and culture. I've studied online friendships and sort of the psychology of how we socially interact with one another. So I have that sort of that background, okay? I do have a lot of friends, and I do have a lot of superficial friends and acquaintances. So a lot of this theory is built around my actual experiences. It's not like I've just made it up. There are actual experiences that I can easily sort of bring out. And I think that, you know, I don't enforce this theory on anyone else, except I enforce it on myself. So
that's not true.
No. It is.
It
because
has to
I,
be mutual.
I will, I it will allow that. I will allow that objection.
Can you opt out? Can I say to you, I opt out of this friendship theory. Rank me however you like in private, in your diary or whatever, but don't talk to me about this.
If they don't agree that that in friendship you have to have an honest conversation with each other about where you stand, they don't have to be my friend because that's
a deal breaker for me. But you're defining honest conversation about where you stand as adhering to your ridiculous theory.
It's not ridiculous, though.
That's where I have to step in, Will. That's not something even an AL 1.8 would say to an AL 1.8.
What the hell?
There is an opting out, which is that they stop talking to Moby or they just say, I don't want to hear about that anymore. You can bring it up, but I'm not listening.
Yeah.
Right?
And then immediately drop them in ranks because they've...
Yeah, but if they've opted out, if they don't care, then...
If they want to be friends with Moby for everything else, like for, you know, they want to be friends with Moby for, you know, who she is apart from this specific thing, then... You know, then there's no capacity for them to do that.
I have one final question.
Yes, there is. If they make the effort, they can be friends with me. But none of those people, I guarantee you, have called me up and said, I really want to be better friends with you. I really want to, you know, meet up with you and get to know you more. None of those people have done that. And what this theory does, it weans out the fake people and the people who want to use the friendship and say, oh, yeah, I'm friends with Moby.
But
that's what it weans out.
It weans
out the
fake people who don't agree with the theory.
No. Hello. Okay.
Moby,
you know,
do you accept that there might be someone who might enjoy your company very much and that the relationship might grow from acquaintance to friendship and a very serious and meaningful friendship, but that they might be put off by being given a questionnaire and the theory initially and that might never happen as a result? This is the Heisenberg uncertainty principle. You can't observe a reaction without affecting it. Can you not accept that? Be quiet, Will. I'm trying to make your anger and attacks palatable to a human being. Sorry, I'm so sorry, Moby.
Thank you. Okay, so you'd be interested to know that I do have someone who I regard as a friend who does not like the theory, but we're still friends because he has made the effort and we have that meaningful connection and we are really good friends. And he doesn't believe in the theory. He doesn't really like it. He thinks it's... You know, it is ranking people, but he's made the effort and we are friends. Like, you don't have to like the theory to be my friend. But those people, Will, that you're talking about who hate the theory, one, have never spoken to me about it because, damn it, I'm really nice. And I understand, all the complexities and the issues about my theory. And usually when people talk to me about it and then figure it out, they realize that where it's coming from is not a place of judgment or telling people, you know, where they, you know, I'm ordering them on where, what, how they should be with me.
Do you understand what people would get that impression, though, that they're being ranked against each other?
Well, you know what? The fact of the matter is, one thing that friends do is they tolerate each other's weird eccentricities. All right, I think I've heard everything I need to hear. I am going to go into my chambers and I'm going to consult with my very close friends, the dust motes and the sunlight coming through the window. And I will, I'll be back in a moment to render my decision.
Please rise as Judge John Hodgman exits the courtroom. Moby, how are you feeling about your chances in this case?
I'm so confident I'm going to win because I know myself and I know people. I know social interaction. You know, I know how fake people can be. And so this theory is strong. It's strong and people can connect to it.
I'm looking at this list. I'm worried that I'm still pre-acquaintance. I thought maybe through the course of this, I would have made it to AL1. But we haven't ever run into each other by coincidence.
That's right. We just met. So the fact of the matter is we are pre-acquaintance. But what I would do is, where do you want to stand with me? Like after the show, are you going to contact me and want to keep the friendship? Maybe, maybe not. How often do you do that with the people you, you know, interview in court? This is work for you. Like, you know.
I've never done that, but I've also never been involved in a competition-based system where I have to build up points. And the desire to build up points is overwhelming.
It just depends on what you want. But if this is the final
talk. I want to know the specific. If I say all that stuff, which level do I get?
You'd have to actually do it. I'd have to actually become close to you for us to be at acquaintance level 3 or something.
Will, how are you feeling about your chances in the case?
Not particularly confident, to be honest. I think that it depends on how much the judge think people have a right to harm others in pursuit of that kind
doesn't
of
doesn't harm others
self-defense mechanisms. Well, I think it upsets people. I mean, it certainly.
Will, I'm going to interject here.
Yeah.
Will, does this hurt you?
I will admit that I was perturbed when I discovered that I wasn't even acquaintance level 2. I think I figured I was about 2.5. And I think it like...
But you never talked to me about it. You never brought it up with me about it.
Well, I think that a lot of people attack the friendship to you, but I don't think you view it, you understand where that's coming from.
No one has ever come and sat with me and said, let's talk about our friendship and where we stand for another.
But they might not necessarily, like not everybody rationalizes things in that way. Like the way that you view talking about friendship is through the lens of the theory itself.
Guys, I'm going to stop this here because I feel that we've already litigated this case and there's no need to relitigate it.
Can I just say one thing?
No. I would like to offer both of you a ranking of FFA in my system, which is that ranking corresponds to Future Friendlies of America, if you're interested. We'll find out what Judge John Hodgman has to say when we come back in just a minute.
I listen to Bullseye to be cooler and more cultured than the people who don't know about Bullseye yet. Of course, then I tell them about Bullseye, so it doesn't usually work for very long.
Bullseye's your guide to what's good. From MaximumFun.org and NPR. Please rise as Judge John Hodgman re-enters the courtroom.
If anyone who's listening wants to take Moby's friendship acquaintance quiz, we will provide a link for it online at MaximumFun.org with this episode. And Moby, I think, is onto something that is perhaps discomfiting to Will and certainly is enraging to Subject Y, her AL3 social butterfly friend. See, I knew that butterflies would get into this. Which is that friendship has been devalued. The concept of friendship is now a debased coin. Largely, I think, because of social media and other superficial ways that we connect and share often very intimate parts of ourselves, but in a kind of a remote way. Now, I don't want to offend anyone with whom I am friends on any social media, but you're not my friends. You know that, right? Like, you're not all my friends. Some of you are there because I pressed a button wrong, or I liked your picture, or you said something funny one time. And then this ongoing perpetual relationship occurs that is not friendship, it is something else. The problem is, and I think Moby appreciates this, working in social media and digital media, is actual friendship is not merely based on trust and funny jokes and affection and good times and coffees. Friendship has with it a certain obligation. Friendship is a drag. It is making yourself vulnerable to another person, and it can be painful, and it evolves and it changes. And it means that you're going to support another person who may or may not be able to support you back at the right time or in the right way or ever. And for that reason, to me, best friendship means having someone around who you don't talk to at all and ask nothing of you, and you don't say anything to them, and they don't ever ask anything of you. Thank you, Jonathan Colton. And for that reason, I will help Jonathan Colton if he is hanging from a cliff. However, as Moby understands, there is now an almost implied friendship in even the smallest interactions in real life and on the internet. And that, I think that creates anxiety. We have lost the calmer expectations to some degree in society of acquaintanceship because there is such perceived intimacy these days. Acquaintanceship, collegiality, paldom, you know, the critical social understanding that makes ship sails and societies work, that we're in it together. I like you fine, but we are going to leave each other more or less alone. And there's nothing wrong with that. I can't restrict Moby, obviously, and you had to know this going in, Will, that you're going to lose, right?
I thought there was the possibility that you might rule that people can opt in or out.
I know you have thought of a lot of possibilities in life, but the reality is that's a given. That's already a given. People can opt in or out as they like. Do you know what I mean? Like you.
But she won't stop talking about it. You can say, I don't want to hear, like, I don't want to be classified in this way.
Stop talking about it.
Hey, guys, this is my time. My time. Shh. Stop fighting. I'm resolving all of your disputes forever.
Thank you. Oh my God. Yes.
The fact that she won't stop talking about it, which is clear. And the fact that it is off-putting, which I think is equally clear, despite the fact that I trust and know that she is a really nice person, or else she wouldn't have as many friends as she does. You know, that's
yeah, part
of being part of. All right, easy, easy, Moby. The fact that she won't stop talking about it is her choice, and everyone else in the world has a choice whether or not to deal with that or not. And if you're a friend, maybe that means putting up with that in the same way that having a friend who, I hate to put it this way, but it comes to mind, farts a lot. That's something you endure. Or maybe they wear a Doctor Who scarf all the time. That's something you endure, even though that's not a choice you would make for them, even as their close friend. Friends are independent free agents. Do you know what I mean? And they can do whatever they want. And at some point you may not realize it, Will, but you're running your own math, even if it's not as categorized and open to the public as Moby's is. You're running your own math on who are people close to you and who aren't. You've got your own private code. What Moby is doing that is so provocative is that she's letting the world know her math. And though by the basis of her theory, everyone has to agree to her theory in order for them to be her friend, that necessarily limits the number of people who are going to be her friend. But I don't think she wants that many friends anyway. Where I do take exception, however, and where I do agree with you, Will, is this. This is not science, Moby. Not science. The data that you're collecting is rough around the edges. And I think you do no one a disservice by drawing people into broad categories of levels of friendship so that you can sort of more or less know where people stand and how much time and emotional investment you're going to put into a relationship. And there's nothing wrong with you expressing where people stand in your estimation and affection. This is just, as you say, it's just communication. But at this point, you know, you've already acknowledged that there is someone who worked through the system and hit the data points for friend, but then it turned out that maybe they weren't being truthful with you. And that hurt. And the only reason that I take you to task for this, the fact that this is pseudoscience, and I think that it is, because essentially you come to the conclusions and then you develop the data to support it after the fact, like she wasn't my friend because blah, 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 she lied about this, that, and the other, is that your whole point of putting this all together is to protect yourself. And you have, you have a degree in psychology, I don't. But I would say that you've made reference quite a few times over the course of this conversation of ways that you have been hurt. And while I have no problem with your having this system, if you are under the illusion that it is going to protect you from hurt, I think that you've already seen the error in your ways, because it didn't. It didn't work in this one particular instance. Maybe for the most part it does, but be aware, you're still gonna get hurt. You do what you want with your life. That is one of the tenets of this court. But as an acquaintance at best, I will say that you seem like a very charming, funny, smart person. There is a lot of anxiety underlying, and confidence too, by the way. There's a lot of anxiety that's underlying this system, a lot of anxiety about making sure everyone's open, making sure everyone's at a mutual level to guard against hurt. You're going to check in. You're going to make sure this person didn't go out for coffee. This person, there's a lot of tests. You say that there aren't a lot of hoops, but AL3 didn't make it in simply because she didn't respond to an introduction to coffee. And I would only say,
after 5 years of knowing her.
Right. You don't have to. No, I feel you. You don't have to change. You don't have to change your behavior in any way. But I will tell you that that anxiety makes me anxious and makes me want to keep you at about AL2. Do you see what I'm saying? Now, I don't know if you're a pre-friend for me, but I'm just letting you know that there is an effect that talking about this stuff has on other people, which makes it seem what may very well simply be true, that you have very high expectations of what a friend should be, and that you're watching people carefully and you're gauging their reactions, and that there are missteps that could send you down the ladder. That I think creates a level of anxiety that is something other than friendship, or does not encourage friendship. Now, this could be the refiner's fire by which you find the perfect friends for you, the people who can hack it and get up to that ladder. That's great. And from a practical point of view, I have no problem with what you're doing. From a scientific point of view and from an interpersonal point of view, I would say I don't think that it's science. I don't think that it is as sufficiently protective as you think it is. And I would say that you should be, you know, be aware, since we're trying to communicate openly here, that in this one data point alone, I feel like it would take me a little bit longer to want to get to know you and be your friend. And this is an honest reaction, not just sort of a hypothetical, but like it would take me a little bit longer than if this weren't a part of your life. But, you know, that's fine. That's the way it goes. We can be acquaintances. I think the baseline, the big message that everyone should take away from your theory, which I think is very valuable, is that it's okay to be acquaintances. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's not a derogatory term. It's okay.
Exactly. Will should stop complaining and whining because the whole world doesn't love him as much as he wants them to, because he's obviously a narcissist.
But it's not necessarily that he doesn't love him. It just doesn't. It's
no.
It's,
I know. Will and I
care about each other on the same level. We just call it something different.
Well, but you should also be open to the idea that you love each other or like each other or whatever it is on different levels, and that's okay too. Do you know what I mean? And I would say that, you know, from my point of view, having, you know, there are lots of people that have been pre-friends in my life who did not care to reciprocate friendship. And that's a painful thing to do, but ultimately you know that you find the people that are your people. You know, if someone doesn't live up to your expectations, there's a great release in not giving a feces. That's an American expression. So you have your system of friendship. I have my system of friendship. By the way, well, I'm sorry I called you a narcissist, but I think I'm closer to the truth than you might think. Just for FYI, you may take it or leave it. It is not necessarily mutual. No one needs to agree with my theory of friendship or whatever. But here are my principles of friendship. Try to be around people who make you genuinely feel happy and not anxious or sad or weird or whatever. Gently disengage from people who make you feel bad and don't care at all about how you feel and don't care about those people anymore. Do more favors than you ask for. Remember, it always hurts to ask. Let people know when you are genuinely thinking nice things about them, but be alert to the more frequent times when you are not thinking about anyone but yourself at all. And then remember that we're all like this. We're all mostly thinking about ourselves. So if someone lets you down, let them off the hook. You're letting plenty of people down all the time in small and big ways. And it's just how it goes being an individual human being. Don't sit on the same side of a booth at the restaurant, even if you're lovers. Don't leave a lot of voicemails. Please don't write long emails and be nice. And that's all you need to do. So that's my theory. I think it stacks up pretty good, but I don't know whether it would work in Australia. The baseline, though, is that I appreciate Will's concerns, and I hope you don't mind, Will, that I re-express some of your concerns as my own. That said, it is Moby's life to live as she sees fit, and I think that this system is interesting, especially as it reemphasizes how important and okay acquaintanceship is over friendship. And I think that it's a practical way for her to find the people that she that cares about the same thing she does. So I find in her favor, this is the sound of a gavel. Judge John Hodgman rules that as all.
Please rise as Judge John Hodgman exits the courtroom. Moby, how are you feeling right now?
I feel really good, mainly because I've won, but also because I really respect a lot of what John has said. No one's ever said those things to me before, and I feel like I could improve the way in which I do engage people on the theory, and I definitely have learned on how I can be better, and better explaining the theory to avoid. I never really thought about how other people do get hurt, so that's something I'll look into.
Will, how are you feeling?
Good in that I think that Moby needed to hear this. I don't think she was hearing it from anyone else. So I think that it's good that someone she respects was able to say it to her. But bad in that I've just given her a massive platform to spread the theory.
I'm going to send this recording to everyone.
A lot of people. And I'm going to be told off. I can already hear it.
Well, Will, Moby, thank you so much for joining us on the Judge John Hodgman podcast.
Thank you very much.
Hello, I'm your Judge John Hodgman. The Judge John Hodgman podcast is brought to you every week by you, our members, of course. Thank you so much for your support of this podcast and all of your favorite podcasts at MaximumFun.org, and they are all your favorites. If you want to join the many member supporters of this podcast and this network, boy, oh boy, that would be fantastic. Just go to MaximumFun.org/join.
The Judge John Hodgman podcast is also brought to you this week by Stitch Fix.
You know that boost of confidence you get when you put on an outfit that just feels good? You know what that's like. That's what I get when I use Stitch Fix. With Stitch Fix, you get a human stylist, not AI. A human being who understands your style, size, and budget. They do all the shopping for you, and it's the easiest way to update your wardrobe this season or any other.
This professional stylist picks the clothes. They can either send you a box where anything you don't want is unbelievably easy to return, or they can make a little storefront for you just from stuff that they recommend for your taste and your body. It is an absolutely incredible service. They give you styling advice, outfit recommendations, the whole thing soup to nuts. And like I said, if you don't want it, if you don't like it, it is unfathomably easy to send it back. They give you an envelope that's big enough, that has the postage and the labels on it. All you have to do is shove the thing in there, close it up, and drop it off at your local mailing center. It is that easy.
Can I also say the stuff that my stylist at Stitch Fix picks for me, I really like it. Like, they know me, and it's really terrific. Plus, if you've got small people in your life, sadly, my small people are now adults shopping for themselves. But if you've got little kids, it's a terrific way to get togs for your kids. Style that makes you feel as you want to look. Get started today at stitchfix.com/JJHO. That's stitchfix.com/JJHO. stitchfix.com/JJHO.
The Judge John Hodgman podcast is also brought to you this week by Aura Frames.
Hey, Mother's Day is coming up. Do you have a mom in your life that you'd like to celebrate? There are very few better ways than giving an Aura frame to someone you care about. These are beautifully Wi-Fi connected digital picture frames that allow you to share and display unlimited photos of your memories with your mom, stepmom, mentor, friend, whatever it is in your life who might enjoy seeing photos from your life. Aura frames are the way to go.
Judge, there's a very special mom in my life, Ms. Teresa Thorne.
Yes.
That's my wife and also a whole human being in her own right. Guess what's on her bedside table? Yes, that's right. You guessed it in one, an Aura frame. What I love about the Aura frame is you don't have to load a bunch of stuff onto an SD card or whatever, like with the old digital frames. It is so easy to get the pictures on there. So like when Teresa texts me a cute picture of one of our children or our dog, or one of our siblings texts us a cute picture of one of them or one of their children,
All I have to do is hit that share button on my phone and I can share it right to the frame, and then it lives there for as long as I want. I can also take it off whenever I want, but I don't even have to open the Aura Frames app, which is a great app, but I don't even have to go there. It just goes straight into wherever I want it, whichever frame I want, or I have multiple Aura Frames in my house, or all of them. It is incredibly easy. That's why Wirecutter chose it as the best digital photo frame. That's why it's one of Oprah's favorite things. It is guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame.
That's A-U-R-A, frames.com. Use the code Hodgman at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, this is Biz, and this is the final season of One Bad Mother, a comedy podcast about parenting. This is going to be a year of celebrating all that makes this podcast and this community magical.
I'm so glad that I found your podcast.
I just cannot thank you enough for just being the voice of reason as I'm trying to figure all of this out.
Thank you, and cheers to your incredible show and the vision you had to provide this space for all of us.
This is still a show about life after giving life. And yes, there will be swears. You can find us on MaximumFun.org. And as always, you are doing a great job.
All right, class. Tomorrow's exam will cover the science of cosmic rays, the morals of art forgery, and whether or not fish can drown. Any questions? Yes, you in the back. What is this?
It's the podcast Let's Learn Everything,
where we learn about science and a bit of everything else. My name's Tom. I study cognitive and computer science, but I'll also be your teacher for intermediate emojis.
My name's Caroline, and I did my master's in biodiversity conservation, and I'll be teaching you intro to things the British Museum stole.
My name's Ella. I did a PhD in stem cell biology, so obviously I'll be teaching you the history of fan fiction.
Class meets every other Thursday on Maximum Fun.
So do I still get credit for this?
No.
Obviously not.
No.
It's a podcast.
Judge Hodgman.
Yeah, Jesse, can you give me a ride to the airport and also a massage? And also read my novel?
I thought we were friends! I would do...
A real friend wouldn't say, Go on.
I would do those things. Well, I mean, my main concern is the ride to the airport because you live in Brooklyn and I live in Los Angeles.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize your friendship was conditional.
Maybe if it was like a ride to O'Hare somewhere in the middle.
Fly to New York and give me a ride to O'Hare. That's all I'm asking.
Hey, we're friends, right?
Yeah, right? We're pals.
I care about you.
I care about...
We've had important conversations.
For 21 minutes one time, so just over the line.
Yeah, thank God I was running the stopwatch. Judge Hodgman, are you headed out on the road anytime in the next few weeks?
In fact, Jesse, I am currently on the road, but depending on when this episode comes out, you may be in time to see me on Thursday, 23rd October, at the Rex Theater in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, with all new material. I will then be in November traveling to Burlington, Vermont on the 19th of November, Lebanon, New Hampshire on the 20th of November, Northampton, Massachusetts on the 21st of November, and Hartford, Connecticut on the 22nd of November with, I am happy to say, as of this recording, a not-so-surprised guest of Jonathan Fresh Banana Man Niederer.
Ooh.
Maybe I'll just say Jonathan Fresh Banana Man because I'm not sure I know how to pronounce his last name. I've never said it out loud before. Isn't that awful?
Yeah. It is. That just kicked you guys down below acquaintance level one, I think.
AL.5. He is going to make the trip from Maine to Hartford with his wife, and you should come out and see him and me. And I look forward to seeing you all. And, of course, at each and every one of these events, I will be hanging out afterward and signing and handshaking. Ebola be damned. I'm going to shake all your hands.
I would like to thank everyone who participated in Max Fun Week. What a wonderful time. And, you know, that was a special week dedicated to our listeners, but every week is dedicated to you, the listener. We really appreciate, and not just that you listen to the shows, but that our work is supported by, you know, your voluntary donations. That really means a lot to us, and we're very grateful to you. So thank you very much.
That was a really fun time talking to all those different people from the different Max Fun podcasts, and I got some new favorites that I'm going to listen to, and it's going to be great.
Our show is edited by Mark McConville, produced by Julia Smith. This week's episode was named by Christian Philippe. You're the one that speaks French, Hodgman Royo.
Merci beaucoup, Christian Royo.
If you want to name an episode of Judge John Hodgman in the future, like Judge John Hodgman on Facebook. You can also follow us on Twitter. I'm at Jesse Thorne.
I'm John, at Hodgman, H-O-D-G-M-A-N.
You can also join the Max Fun group on Facebook, which is facebook.com/maximumfun.org. And you can join the Maximum Fun group on Reddit, which is reddit.com/r/maximumfun. In addition to chatting about this episode in our forum at forum.maximumfun.org, thank you so much, everybody. We'll talk to you next time on the Judge John Hodgman podcast.
Sic Semper Justice. Still working on it. I can't get a good catchphrase to leave on. Court is adjourned. Everyone go home from this court. We'll try those three, see which one sticks. Good night, everybody.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.